Welcome to the Manifesting Doll podcast. I'm Barbara Orban from No Diet Babe. I'm a spiritual mindset coach and weight loss expert. If you are a spiritual babe wanting to up-level your life around your body, health, wellness, spirituality, law of attraction and manifestation, then this is the podcast for you. I'm here to give you the tools, teachings, and strategies to manifest the body and life of your dreams. As spiritual babes, we know to focus on love as opposed to fear. So get ready to learn how to implement spiritual teachings to weight loss, wellness, and your daily life coming from a place of love and abundance. This is a celebration of how we can shift our inner perception of ourselves and watch our outer selves shift. You can become the best version of yourself, and I'm here to help. So let's get started. Hey babes, welcome to the Manifesting Doll podcast. I'm Barbara Orban from No Diet Babe. And today I'm going to be continuing on from the topic of emotional eating. And this is part two, where I'm just going to continue to basically just go on a tangent all about emotional eating. I'm just going to like talk all about emotional eating and what it is and how to overcome it and all of that, right? And the reason is because my new program called Emerge is actually starting today, okay? You guys, we start to get today. So even if you can't join us live though, the replays, so what this is, right, this is going to be a proper course that's going to be available in the No Diet Babe portal. So whenever you buy one of my courses, you get login information and you can go into the No Diet Babe portal and access the videos, access the worksheets, right? So this is a 3-day course, and what it is, it's an emotional eating implementation course. And the reason why I call it an implementation course is because the series of questions in the worksheets, and it's a guided course. So the course guides you through the worksheets. It's essentially like coaching, but through a course, right? Because it's the necessary questions that you need to ask yourself and journal on in order to identify the reasons why you eat. It is uncovering the core issues behind emotional eating. This is really important, you guys. This is so important. This kind of work is so necessary for you to basically put together all the things that are the number one points that cause you to overeat, okay? So that's why this course is really, really important. I can't stress like how good this course is at asking and diving into the right aspects of why you are driven to eat. Now, remember that the whole time I bang on about weight gain and weight loss is that it's connected to your emotions. Your behaviors are connected to your emotions. And I seriously, every single woman who I talk to who wants to lose weight should be focusing on emotional eating. Everybody's an emotional eater. It's like crazy how people just kind of don't identify with themselves being an emotional eater when they actually are. They're just not aware of it because so many people live unconsciously. It's like they have no conscious awareness of what goes in their head whatsoever. Like completely unaware of how their thoughts are connected to the way they behave, right? And so, I mean, the things that people say that I hear them talk about and stuff, it's like, yeah, I just eat something and then I wonder why I ate it. It's like, why did I eat it when clearly I knew it wasn't good for me and clearly it was sabotaging my diet? But why did I eat it? Because of your emotions. Duh. Anyway, it's like really obvious to me, but I've been doing this stuff for years, you guys. Like, I've been learning about this stuff for so many years, so it's so obvious to me. But I want to make it obvious to you too, because that clarity that I have now makes life so easy for me, right? Especially around weight loss and food, because like I've manifested this reality, but it's also allowing me to have ease in other areas of my life because it's spilling over, right? And because I've done this foundational work, when you start doing foundational work on stuff, it helps you in other areas of manifestation. And like manifestation is like the key to a good life, right? I'm like so happy with the information that I'm learning, and I just feel high vibe like so much more of the time. And I did too when I overcame emotional eating. And it's like, you can have that too, okay? You can have that too. And that's why like the course Emerge is going to be really good. Like I'm really, really excited for you if you sign up, because I just know like how much it's going to help you implement stuff. And, you know, the different days have different topics, like because we've got to really go over what's holding you back around emotional eating and then create your new identity. So it's going to be really about implementation. So I'm really excited. And you can sign up if you're not wanting to join us live and you just want to go at your own pace, that's fine. You have until next week to sign up if you're not wanting to join us live. Like I said, we're starting today, but you can continue to sign up until 24th of December Eastern Standard Time, okay? So Australian Eastern Standard Time, that is, right? But yeah, okay. So that's pretty much like it in terms of that. After that, so sign up before then so you don't lose out, basically. Anyway, so emotional eating, right? Overcoming emotional eating. So last topic I taught, like in the other episode, part one, I really covered the dieting mindset. And oh my gosh, you guys, this is like half of the battle, is to overcome your dieting mindset, which is why food is so alluring, which is why you have this relationship to it, right? Okay, what I actually want to talk about before I continue on, before I forget, is that this whole idea about sugar being addictive, because sugar is very much linked into the type of foods that trigger you. Because when I was an emotional eater, I craved desserts, pretty much wanted dessert for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, wanted cake all the time, wanted chocolate all the time, wanted ice cream all the time, wanted Nutella all the time. It was like a constant battle of having to say no because it's not good for you. Whereas now, I don't need to say no because I don't desire it in the first place. What's the difference? I don't even think about it. It doesn't even cross into my awareness that these foods even exist. And if I do witness them or see other people eating them, I make a decision of whether or not I want to eat them. And if I want to, I eat them. But majority of the time, I don't really give a fuck about them. They just don't cause a strong emotional response in me. Okay, think of it this way. If think of something that doesn't really interest you. It's like batteries. It's like, oh, like I can't even think of something that like will make sense here, because it's like, what item can I think of that no one gives a fuck about? It's like, oh my God, those batteries. Like I'm dying to have some batteries. I mean, maybe if you need batteries, maybe you're dying for batteries, but I'm trying to think of an analogy here, right? So think of something, an item, and then it doesn't really cross your mind. You're like, yeah, batteries. Like who the fuck gives a fuck about batteries? I don't think about batteries. As if my brain is going to pop into my head and go, ooh, batteries. I mean, I'm saying this because I literally have batteries sitting in front of me for my computer mouse. But I mean, I can't think of anything. I'm sucking at the analogy stuff today, right? I don't know. Sometimes I like to think I'm good with analogies, but clearly not working out for me today. But anyway, Like, just when you think of desserts and food, when it crosses your mind, automatically it creates this response in you and you're like, oh yeah, I want that, right? Whereas if you think of just any old mundane object, it doesn't create the same response in you. And you might say, because this is what so many people tell me, and I'm like, oh, here we go, but sugar is like a drug. Sugar is addictive. And it's like everything can be fucking addictive. Your mobile phone is addictive. Sex is addictive. Getting a text message is addictive. It's all about whether or not, like, it's eliciting the reward system in your brain to, like, it's causing you to release dopamine. And whether or not it releases dopamine is due to your relationship to it. For example, somebody could be addicted to gambling and you don't give a fuck about it. It doesn't mean that gambling is a drug, because you could gamble once and go, what is the fucking big deal? Do you get what I mean? It's like there's such a big difference between saying that, like, first of all, there is no solid evidence that can say that sugar is like a drug. And I'll tell you why they can't actually prove it scientifically. One of the things that I know of is because humans don't eat sucrose in isolation. So apparently rats do. I think I looked it up one time. There's studies on rats getting addicted to sugar and eating the sucrose in isolation. And what I mean by sucrose is the word for table sugar, right? So actual table sugar, like the shit that sits on your bench next to your kettle in a fucking canister, that's sucrose. Do you ever say, oh my God, I'm craving some sucrose? Never have I sat there and eaten table sugar by itself. And humans rarely do. So therefore, they could not prove scientifically that sugar is any similar to a drug. It's not like cocaine. Of course it's fucking not. You're not snorting it. You're not sitting there going, oh my God, I can't get enough of this table sugar and I just want to eat the whole thing. No, that never, ever, ever, ever happens. Seriously. Who the fuck says, I want some sucrose for dessert tonight and I'm gonna sit there with my tablespoon and just shovel straight table sugar into my mouth and chew it, crunchy. Like, nobody's gonna do that, guys. Like, seriously. It's not it's not the sugar itself that is the problem. Sugar itself, for example, yes, in excess, contributes to obesity, but that's just because it's got calories, because anything with calories in excess causes obesity, right? Sugar in itself, it is food in excess that causes obesity, right? Yes, sugar, like, there's other effects of over-consuming sugar that's not good. It messes with your hormones. It, diabetes, like, I don't know the full science of, like, what it's linked to. It's linked to fucking disease, yeah? Why? Because, like, anything that's processed or anything that's in excess of anything, like, it's not good for us to eat in excess, right? It's not how our bodies want us to function. So anything in excess. So let's just, like, have, like I've said before, like, don't demonize food, just have respect for it. It's a completely different energy to, I don't demonize sugar, yet I hardly eat. I'd eat it, but I don't eat to excess. Therefore, it's not going to affect my health. I'm not going to get all obsessed about it and be like, oh, I have to be sugar free. It's like, your body can tolerate things. It's pretty resilient. Like, why the fuck do you have to tiptoe around food so much? You don't have to. It's just that, like, you just have to understand moderation. That's it. That's to me, that's what's been working for me, is to just have this mentality of moderation, right? But anyway, with sugar in itself, like, it's not addictive. What's the addictive thing is that when food is highly palatable. And what I mean by that is that it tastes really good and it makes us feel a certain way. So for example, when I was an emotional eater and I'd eat ice cream or I'd eat chocolate Nutella, when I'd have my trigger foods, which my big ones were cake and Nutella, when I'd have Nutella, I just couldn't get enough of it. It was like a rush. It felt like a rush when I ate it. It was like I would eat it and I would just feel a rush and I would feel so good and I would just be like, oh my God, this is so, it tastes so good in the texture, and you get addicted to the taste and the texture and all of that experience, right? But it's a sensation that you actually create. It is just your perception and it's eliciting the dopamine reward. It's like I was saying before about the gambling. Somebody could be like, oh my God, gambling, I'm so addicted to it and I can't control myself around it. Yet you're like, it's just fucking gambling. Like, why the fuck do you have to do it? And that's how I feel about sugar now. You're like, oh my God, sugar's a drug and I'm so addicted. I can't control myself around Nutella and chocolate and cookies and ice cream. And I'm like, like, I don't give a fuck. Like, just have a fucking cookie. And then why the fuck would you feel like eating any more than one? It's disgusting. That's how I feel. Not because I don't like those foods. It's because they taste too rich after I eat a certain amount. It's too sweet. It's too rich. It's too yuck. It tastes good for maybe one or two lint balls, and then why the fuck would I want any more than that? Why would I ever want to eat a whole block of chocolate, whereas years ago I could polish one off easily? And that's the difference in my perception of that food. Therefore, that food in itself cannot be the cause of the problem. It is my relationship to that food that is the problem. Otherwise, how on earth did I change it? How on earth did I change my emotional response to these foods if it was the food in itself? It's not. It's your psychology around the food. It's your emotional attachment to the food, right? I hope that makes sense. You can tell I'm really into this because it frustrated me for so many years. The fact that I didn't know this and the fact that so many people could live life so much easier and not have to struggle so much around food if they just trained themselves to understand what I'm saying. Like, the world would be a better place if everybody listened to this podcast. Yeah, I totally went there. That's what I'm changing the world. But anyway, you guys, like, I really see this for what it is. And it's your emotional relationship to the food. And it is triggering dopamine. It is rewarding behavior. And when you have unmet needs. But here's the thing with unmet needs, right? It depends on what you're desiring. So when I was an emotional eater, I was desiring weight loss. Weight loss was my unmet need. But what I was searching for was actually a feeling, which I had to give myself that feeling. And like I've said previously, you might have lost weight and you still didn't feel fulfilled. And it's like, why didn't I appreciate my weight? I looked better then. And it's like, because you never changed the thought pattern, because you never gave yourself the feeling that you were searching for. Because everything we're searching for is just a feeling. You have to learn to give yourself the feeling, right? And what I notice amongst people who want to lose weight and just emotional eaters is all of this heavy energy. And a lot of the time it's around their weight, and it's like their weight is so linked into their self-worth. And let me tell you something really, really important. This is gold. This is gold, okay? Your self-worth is so linked into your weight that your weight determines your mood. And you might think to yourself, does it? Like, does it really? Think to yourself the moments where you hate your body, where you try on clothing and it feels tight, where you feel that discomfort, you feel uncomfortable in your body and you make the decision to want to lose weight. There are moments where you dislike your body. You'll have a trigger, whether it's you see somebody who's slim or you catch your reflection in a store window, you look at yourself in a photo that's unflattering. There are times where you feel uncomfortable. Perhaps you feel uncomfortable all the time, but it's such a subtle thing that you're not aware of it. But it's there because it's been there for many, many years. And here's the thing, because this uncomfortable feeling is linked into your weight, right? Your emotions is linked into your weight. Your self-worth is linked into your weight. So even if you do lose weight, but okay, because here's how I know this. I know that pretty much all of you do this. Why do I know this? Because you keep on telling me that you want to lose weight to feel more confident, that you want to lose weight to feel lighter. Why? Because you're happier when you feel lighter. Again, it's a feeling. You choose whether or not you feel lighter or heavier. It's a perception of your mind that you've just convinced yourself of. That's like me. Okay, I know that sounds weird, but think of it this way. Somebody's before photo could be somebody else's after photo. Okay, so somebody could have lost 30 kilos and feel lighter, yet they're at your worst. So you're at the same, and you feel heavy. Do you get what I'm saying? So like two people could be at the same weight, but one could feel lighter because they've just lost 30 kilos and the other person feels heavy because they still want to lose 10. Do you get what I'm saying? It's just a feeling that we create, feeling heavy or feeling light. And when a woman tells me I want to lose weight because I like that when I feel lighter, this is what I used to say too. I got addicted to that feeling of feeling lighter. I put so much energy on that being the thing that made me happy was when I felt lighter. And that feeling is just something that you have to learn to create and to have stability around that feeling. So instead of fluctuating between I feel heavy today, I feel light, I made the decision that there was just a baseline that I felt and there was no such thing. There wasn't this difference in feelings that I had to feel. Like I didn't allow myself to feel different in my body. I would tune into, hey, do I feel heavy or is this just consistent? And look, this gets easier when you start eating consistently because you literally manifest the feeling heavy and the feeling light because you're eating so inconsistently. But this is actually, I got off track here. This is the actual thing that I wanted to say that was really important was that because your emotions are so tied into your weight, and your emotions fluctuate with your weight. It's like, because emotions fluctuate, emotions are fluid, they're always moving. Like we're happy or we're sad or like emotions are always fluctuating. And if your emotions are really linked into your weight, then of course your weight's going to fluctuate as a manifestation of your emotions fluctuating. And I like an example of this is when my weight was very much tied into my self-worth, then I would gain weight if I went through a difficult period in my life. And with every emotional eater that I meet, it's the same thing. Oh, I'm at my heaviest. Well, tell me what life events has been happening. And I guarantee you, you've been going through a tough time. And that's why you're at your heaviest. And it's a manifestation of the emotions being so, like the weight being so much dependent on the self-worth and happiness, because weight loss equals happiness for you. doesn't it? So that's why your weight fluctuates, because when you're in a bad mood, your weight goes up. It's like you've got to get to the point where you separate weight and happiness, and they're two separate things. And you kind of, it's like just playing with the brain. Like, you've got to essentially convince yourself that weight isn't a real thing. Like, you can be content no matter what weight you are. And that, you have to do that. Like, why? Because from a manifestation perspective, otherwise you're holding on too tightly. That is the concept, that when they say holding on loosely, that's what that means. Amanda Francis says that, holding on loosely, right? When that's what I mean by holding on loosely, is where you're like, I don't give a fuck if I gain 10 kilos or lose 10 kilos. I'm happy either way. Now, you're not, I still have the attitude, yet I don't gain weight, because energetically I've already set this decision that my weight doesn't fluctuate. And that comes with time. But you got to lose the weight, and you've got to get to the place where your moods don't fluctuate with your weight fluctuating, because your weight's going to fluctuate. And I've said this before, my weight fluctuates a couple of kilos here and there. And if you've lost weight and then you allow that 1 to 2 kilo fluctuation affect you mentally, then you will get a domino effect in gaining the weight back, which pretty much what happens to people. So anyway, I think I've gone off track, as I do tend to, especially when I'm just free talking, like I have no notes. But that's sometimes also when the best stuff comes out. So I just go with it. But anyway, what emotional eating, right? Like I was saying, you have to get to the core of the stuff. And it is pretty much a lot of the time connected to the emotions around your weight. And that's kind of what I dive into with Emerge. Emerge goes through that. What else do we cover? We cover the science, basically, of psychology behind emotional eating, and the process that you need to do, which was exactly what I did, to identify the trigger and identify the thoughts and shift it around. That's all it is. You know, you guys, it's really not that hard. It's really not that hard to overcome emotional eating. It's really not that hard. It's the perception that we have of it, and it's the fact that we allow the ego to create stories around our life and perceptions of things. And the world seems to has fallen for this idea that weight loss is this the hard thing and that weight gain is this easy thing. And because of the dieting mentality, it's screwing us over even more. That's really what it is. It's kind of like the whole mentality around being poor. It's like scarcity doesn't exist. You don't have to buy into it, but if you do, you are poor. It's the same shit with food. It's like the dieting mentality doesn't exist. You don't have to buy into it. But if you do, weight loss does seem hard. And you're creating that as a manifestation of the story that you believe. It's the story that you fall for. And you get to come to the other side. Like, come to the other side with me. Because it's so much better here. So much better here, where you don't have this fucked up perception of food. And you don't let it have so much power over you. And if you want to come over to the other side, then come and join me in Emerge. We get started today. Like I was saying, if you can't join us live, that's fine. You will get access to the course in the No Diet Babe portal. You'll get to download the worksheets and do the program in your own time. Get onto it. It's only $111. Seriously. I mean, goodness sake, you'll spend more money on getting your hair done, woman. Get into it. Seriously, it's like, yeah, all right, done, you're in. Get onto it. The website is nodietbabe.com/emerge. Like I was saying, you can sign up before the 24th of December. Anyway, you guys, also I've had a few people ask me about the monthly membership. I want it to be epic, and there's meditations and stuff that I want to, I just want it to be so epic. It's going to come out next year, okay? And I can't wait for it, and it's going to be so much fun to have a VIP membership, you guys. Okay, so that's it for today. I hope I gave you enough insight into emotional eating, even though I just seem to went on a rant about sugar. But that is very, very relevant. It's very, very relevant because many people, when they're emotional eaters, sugar is the thing that they feel addicted to. I mean, it was for me. Words for me. I mean, come on. It is, right? Anyway, perceiving sugar as a drug, perceiving food as the enemy does not help your relationship to it. It only makes it seem more alluring, which doesn't help you in the end. It creates strong emotional responses. Like I was saying before, if you've just viewed sugar like you view batteries, you wouldn't give a fuck about it and you wouldn't crave it as much. Just like you never crave batteries, right? I don't know. Is there someone out there who does? Maybe. Anyway, that's it for today, you guys. So basically, I've been pre-recording episodes too because I'm going to be in Bali between Christmas and over New Year's. So also, if I'm a bit quiet during that time, or maybe I'll be even more, like I'll be sharing me sitting poolside drinking cocktails. That's probably what you're going to see a lot of, actually. That's really what's going to be happening. But I have pre-recorded some podcasts for you guys because I just don't know what my Wi-Fi is going to be like there. And I'd hate for you guys to miss out on my amazing episodes. So anyway, love you guys. I'll see you in the next episode. Thank you so much for tuning in today. If you loved this episode, I'd love for you to leave me an iTunes review. Don't forget to follow this podcast for more uplifting teachings to come. For more tips, inspiration, and teachings, come follow me on Instagram at NoDietBabe or check out my website, NoDietBabe.com. Until I see you next time, babes, lots of love.